gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' feel it and you gon' get it. I'm gon' get it and we gon' get it and you gon' get it and you gon' feel it.
Here comes the, here comes the, here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like.
Here comes the.
NFL fans, welcome to another edition of This Week in the NFL here on the North-South Connection Podcast Network. I'm your host, the Cowboy, joined as always by our four-man booth. We're going to go from start at the smartest tonight. So Ryder's coming off a case of strep throat, so we're recording on a Thursday instead of a Wednesday. But I think the 3 days in bed have actually added some energy to Ryder. He was really, really pumped up a few minutes ago in our little pre-show talk. So, Ryder, how are you doing, my friend?
Good.
Are you over that Cardinals defeat and playoff miss?
Yes.
Good, good. See, when you're young, you bounce back quick. He gets to root for the Suns. So, Ryder, real quick, James Harden to the Nets. Good for the Nets or bad for the Nets?
Bad.
I think it's bad, too. I know it's an NFL show, but I know you had strong opinions there. So we're going to talk through the games, Ryder. Ryder and I were lucky enough to be in the same house for the games this week, so we watched a lot of them. Ryder tried to reenact, I think, each individual play from the games in Madden while we were watching, so he didn't maybe catch every single play, but it was good. So happy you're feeling better, Ryder. Anything you want to say to your fans?
No.
I didn't think so. All right. Next up, Mr. John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
Come on. I should have been last, according to your category of introductions.
Oh, but, I just said smartest. I didn't say we were going in order.
It'd be too nice.
The smartest.
It'd be too nice, but very well. That was the first ever, what they call it, a super wild card weekend or whatever, super duper, whatever. And it was pretty good. It kind of petered out towards the end. I want to ask Ryder, did he engage in that Nickelodeon stuff? That Nickelodeon game or whatever, the Bears? That super slime game, the Bears and the Saints? No? He's too old for that? He didn't engage in that? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What did he think?
We thought it was funny that, right, Ryder? Who won the Nickelodeon player of the game?
Trubisky?
Mitch Trubisky. Not sure how we heard that one.
I saw that.
I only tuned in for a couple minutes. It was the announcers added. It was like on the Bears. There was Manti Te'o was on the Bears, and they're like, "Look, kids, Manti Te'o. He's got an imaginary friend, just like your kids do."
Oh, man.
That's about 5 years ago, but you know, better late than never. That's all I got.
yeah. Unfortunately, like the slime was really the highlight of that game for the Bears.
Yeah.
Senior. How you doing?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing great. And, you know, you mentioned that. I tuned into it for about the last 5 minutes of the game because a friend on Twitter, our old buddy Rob Carpenter, told me, you got to check it out, Senior. You're going to love the graphics and all this. Maybe I'm not really watching that because I'm in it for the football. And he said, oh, you got to watch it. It's great. And maybe I'm too much of a traditionalist, but when I watch a football game, I don't need to see slime in the end zone and all this stuff. I want to watch the football game. Yeah, name and Mitch player of the game. It's all kind of a farce, but it was a great weekend. The games were good, and I agree with you as to who the smartest guy in the room is, because he was the only one of us smart enough to pick the Cleveland Browns. Whatever time the game kicked off, 15, 20 minutes later, we knew who was going to win. So great job there. Kudos to Ryder. And it was a great weekend, and I'm hoping this weekend's an even better one because we got four great games. And seeing that you dabbled in basketball, I'll say another sport for a second. The UFC's back Saturday as well, making it a two-TV day. And I for one, have really, really missed the three-week hiatus or whatever it was away from the UFC. So it's going to be an awesome weekend.
There you go, Senior. Very good. And a little bit of a curmudgeon, though, huh? With the like the Nickelodeon thing?
I didn't like it.
Like the grumpy old man take right there. I mean, Rob has come on our show before. He's a, you know, receiver for the Eagles and a couple of other teams in the NFL. Great guy, Senior's buddy on Twitter. Rob, usually if Rob tells you to do something, Senior, you're all in. Is it partially because your pick was so far off in that game that maybe you didn't enjoy it as much?
No, I still liked it better watching real football. I don't know. I don't need all these, you know, all these colors flashing on me all over the place. I want to watch a football game. I want to watch a football game.
That game needed it, though, because that game was a mismatch from the opening kickoff. That was a mismatch. That was a horrible game.
Well, you know, Johnny, I still think that in my view, the Saints did play tight, and they played like a team. That, as much as you say it was a mismatch, they left the Bears in that game for three quarters. Really? Yeah. Because I just don't think the Saints rose to the occasion again in the playoffs. They left it there for the taking. It's just that the sucky Bears couldn't take it. I mean, how much would they have tightened up if Wims caught that pass and they got a lead? You know, and there was two plays to me, two plays in a game that the Saints, okay, I mean, anybody could have beat the Bears in that game, but two huge plays. Obviously, that drop by Wims was gigantic. And the fourth down around the 8-yard line, where instead of kicking the field goal, they weren't even going to snap the ball. They just tried to draw them off, and the stupid Bears jumped. And then they ended up getting a touchdown. And I think at the time it was 10-3, and that touchdown made it 17-3. It's like two gigantic plays. Other than that, yeah, it was a mismatch, but not because the Saints did anything special. It's just because the Bears, you know, we were right all along. The Bears didn't belong in the playoffs.
Who's this we? It was you?
Okay, I was right all along. I didn't want to pat on the back alone, okay? That team didn't belong in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They played all right. It's just a tough match.
Yeah, it's because the Saints sucked. They played all right because the Saints really didn't do anything.
Yeah, that Taysom Hill garbage that kept the Bears closer than what they should have. Otherwise, it really
would have been.
I didn't see it how you see it. I seen it as a total domination. The Bears are never in it. And they rewarded their.
You're down by one score, you're in the game, Johnny. They were down by one score for three quarters.
Three quarters?
They were within one score. I mean, yeah. I mean, we kept waiting for the Saints to do something, and it wasn't happening. I kept saying the Bears are still in this. They're one play away. I'm telling you, if Wims caught that pass, the Bears might have won the game. The Saints might have shit their pants at that point.
Sorry for the language there, Ryder. We're jumping right into it.
I beat John to it.
We're jumping right into analysis. So, great wild card weekend. I really enjoyed having the extra game on each day. To John's point, and John kind of called this, it was not the end was not as exciting as the beginning. The last game was pretty satisfying for reasons other than that it was a great game. But let's just walk through each playoff game that we have coming up this weekend. In doing that and providing our analysis, we can go back and talk through the games that were. So we probably already spent too much time on the Bears. So Cedar, I'd ask you to, you know, let's move on. It's over. When you picked against them for seven straight weeks, it worked for a little while. Then it didn't work, and then you finally did the Senior reverse jinx curse, knocked him out of the playoffs. It worked. Mm-hmm. So we have to move on. Tim, it's going to be an interesting offseason for you Bears fans, including our buddy Tim. But one of the positives of that is you won't have to hear Senior taking shots at him every week until our season preview next year.
They rewarded the coach and the GM by bringing them back because it was such a successful season.
See?
There you go.
Successful season. All right. So first matchup I want to talk about, we'll just go in order here. We have the Rams at the Packers. The Rams played a pretty good game. I mean, they started Wolford. He got knocked out. Goff came in, did not play particularly well. Regular Goff, not great. Goff with an injured hand, really not great. But the Rams were able to run the ball at will against the awful Seattle defense. Seattle, I'm going to leave this to John, but not a great performance by the Seahawks. And with all that, the Rams are very interesting matchup with them going to Green Bay. John, I know you had some pretty strong opinions about this specific game, Los Angeles at Seattle. Talk to us about it.
Well, we saw what happened. About 2 days later, Seattle fired their offensive coordinator, Schottenheimer, who, like in the middle of the season, when Russell let Russ cook, Russell was on his way to an MVP season, and they would talk about, you know, who's going to hire Schottenheimer as the next HC, and now he probably hasn't gotten any interviews because he just got fired as the OC. And a lot of that has to do with the diva wide receiver, DK Metcalf, went off, exploded on the sidelines, throwing his helmet, you know, making a big commotion and all that, where Russell really should have been the leader of that team and should take control of the offense. I mean, he's the highest play. He's the man that's got the Super Bowl ring and all that. But he kind of lets Metcalf overshadow the situation. And you saw what happened. It was kind of an embarrassing performance. That was another game where it wasn't really close, where the Rams kind of dominated. That one play was kind of a busted play that Metcalf made. And then, of course, he got the touchdown at the end to make his stats look good. But the Rams totally dominated. Cam Akers, that first half was just incredible. And Goff, although, you know, I agree with you, he's not nothing good. But at least he didn't turn the ball over and he gave him a chance. And the Rams dominated the line of scrimmage.
And that defense is great. It's a great defense. And uninspired performance by Seattle. No urgency. It was almost, I mean, I thought they pretty much laid down. I was pretty surprised with how they played that game. It was like they weren't in it from the beginning. Ryder, are you there, my friend? Oh, I think we lost Ryder for a second. Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Ryder's on mute. Ryder, that was an NFC West battle, the Cardinals division. So going into next season, do you think Seattle is on the upswing or kind of on the downswing? They had a really bad last 5 or 6 weeks. Like, do you think the Rams are just a better team than them now?
No.
You think it was just kind of, what do you think? Like they just had a bad few weeks. Maybe their defense could be a little better next year.
Yeah.
You think it was good for them to fire the offensive coordinator?
I don't know. I don't even know who.
Ryder doesn't even know who he is. At least he's honest. Brian Schottenheimer, son of one of the more boring coaches in NFL history. So Ryder, Seattle does not scare you next year, am I right?
No, a little.
Very good. Be forceful. The Cardinals are a better team than Seattle, and they should have been in the playoffs. Am I right?
Yeah.
Also, one more thing. Adams was really banged up. I think he had broken fingers. He got surgery, shoulders.
Labrum, right?
Yeah, torn labrum. So, that too. I think they're gonna bounce back. Seattle. They're gonna get a new OC, dynamic offense, and. Some drafts and free agents always want to go there and play, so they'll be all right. They'll be back in contention.
I didn't love what I saw from them, but they have a lot of talent. I mean, they have a lot of individual talent, so you would think they'll be able to put it together. Now, looking forward to this week, real interesting matchup: Rams at Packers. The Packers very, very tough at home. Very, very good team. It's another matchup where the Rams in the quarterback department are just like varsity versus freshman team. But the Achilles heel for the Packers is their run defense. Akers is really rolling. The Packers really only have one good wide receiver. who I would imagine Jalen Ramsey's going to follow. Not sure he's going to shut him down or anything. And that defense is good. And if they, I think I, man, I could see the upset here, but I'm going to pass it over to Cowboy Senior for his to give us his take first on this one.
Okay, I'm just going to throw in something quick that I was kind of surprised you guys didn't add, like when Johnny was all over Metcalf. The real, you know, I don't know if it was a direct result of his tantrum, but right after he threw his tantrum was when Ruggs tried to force the ball to him to keep him happy, it looked like, and threw the pick six. That was really the biggest play of the game. So, you know, the prima donna wide receiver, maybe. I mean, I like Metcalf, but I got to kind of go along with Johnny there that he's maybe he's got a little OBJ in him, you know, which is, in fact, he does appear to have some OBJ in him. So it's kind of too bad. Okay, moving on to that game. I mean, it was announced today that Wolford isn't going to be able to go. I don't know if you guys saw that. So it is going to be Goff. And the way it was announced gave me the impression that they would have been starting Wolford if he was healthy, that this is where Goff is right now. And maybe part of it's because of his thumb, but I think right now he's beaten out in a playoff game that they have to win. All things being equal, they would start Wolford. And Wolford actually, in that game against Seattle, that's another thing nobody mentioned. He looked good. I mean, he was playing real well. I thought it was really bad news for the Rams when he went out. But as you guys said, Seattle played uninspired, and they couldn't stop the Rams' running game at all. Akers was running right through them. The Rams' offensive line blew them out. And, yeah, that's their way. So you look at it, the Rams got the running game. The Packers don't have the run defense, as you said, the Ramsey thing. I don't know if you shut down Davante Adams. He's that one guy that, of all the receivers in the league, it's like they really don't have that much else at wide receiver. And yet, so you know everybody, they don't have a Ramsey, but they're giving him doubling him and giving him all kind of attention. And you still can't stop him. The connection those two guys have is pretty amazing. But, yeah, a lot of things point to the Rams having a real good chance to win this game. So I'm going to go with my philosophy that I went with last week. And when we see the Rams having a chance, we say positive things about the Rams is when they lay an egg. And as good as their defense is, I think Aaron and Devontae and Aaron Jones get the better of them. And I see the Packers winning this game maybe like 27-17 Packers.
As bad as
their run defense is, they're going to really key on the run and try to force Goff to beat them. And this is the way I see it. And Goff just isn't going to get anything done.
I think we'll know very early in this game kind of how it's going to go. I think there's a world where the Packers jump out on them 14-0 or 21-0, like touchdown, turnover, touchdown, something like that. And if that happens, the game's over and it's a blowout and the Rams are laying an egg. If the Rams hang in early and keep it close or have a lead, I think they have a real chance. I'm going to pick the Packers, but it's not a super confident pick. And it's a similar pick to what I made last week, except they're just a better team. Like, I just can't pick Jared Goff to beat Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau Field in a playoff game. I just can't do it. Outside of the quarterback, I think the Rams are probably a better team. But I think the Packers are going to win because of Rodgers.
Well, obviously, it's one of the mismatches of the century, Rodgers and Goff. But you guys know me. I'm going to go with the better defense. And I'm going to go with the Rams upset. Maybe 24-20. That last
very
game,
possible, very possible.
That last game, Rodgers versus the Bears a couple weeks ago. He threw about two or three right in the Bears defender's hands. So he's ripe for a pick or two. And Ramsey and the boys, if they get an opportunity to turn him over, they won't drop it. So as you guys discuss, I think Ramsey will do a good job of containing Adams. And it'll be up to the other wide receivers. Although the other wide receiver, Rodgers shows, no matter who the hell it is, a guy driving a cab off the street, he usually finds. Years ago, it was like somebody like a Kumro or somebody like that. You know, now there's like Valdez, Scanton, St. Brown. He'll find some guy with three, four names.
Aaron Jones out of the backfield, too.
Tunyon, yeah. Tunyon or something. So
and Lazard's pretty good. Yeah, I think he's the best of the wide receivers after Devontae.
I'm gonna go with Akers having another big game and the Rams pulling it off. It'll probably be my only upset pick, but I'll go with it. About 24-20.
Very good. And Ryder, finish this off. Rams or Packers?
Packers.
Ryder goes with the chalk as per usual. The only underdog he's picked all season was Cleveland. Amazing pick. All right. Very good, guys. So next up, we have Baltimore at Buffalo. For my money, the game of the weekend. I thought Baltimore-Tennessee was going to be the game of last weekend. I was on that island. It did not go at all the way I thought it would, other than the... Other than Baltimore winning, I thought it would be a big shootout, and it was the lowest scoring game of the weekend. But good for Lamar. They fell down 10-0. Lamar, in his career, down 10 points or more, was 0-6 coming into that game. And they came back. They won. The defense played great. They completely shut Derrick Henry down, which is not easy to do. And for that, they earn a date with Buffalo, who had a... You know, it was a very good game against Indianapolis. Kind of came down. Indy had a shot and couldn't get it done, right? As we thought that may be the case. But this, for me, is the game of the weekend. But, John, why don't you give us your analysis first?
Well, Buffalo barely scraped by. And it was because Allen, susceptible to the turnovers, he put it on the ground once, and that huge fumble, but luckily he got bailed out. His lineman recovered the ball. That would have been a huge game. Otherwise, they squeaked by. The defense kind of struggled. They gave up a lot of yards on the ground and to the air. They didn't really turn over Rivers, and they made that game a kind of a heart attack for their fans as they barely got by the Colts. And the Ravens just played almost a perfect game. After that Lamar interception where it looked like, uh-oh, here he goes again. And, you know, Lamar can't win in the playoffs and all that. A brutal interception in the Titans game. But they held tough, and they only fell behind 10-0. And they quickly tied the game up. When Lamar made that run, that kind of loosened things up. And they were able to relax after that. And their defense really took over. Calais Campbell... Just dominating the line of scrimmage. Didn't let Henry bust him up. And I think in this game, Buffalo doesn't have too much of a running game to speak of. So it's going to have to be Allen chucking it 40 times. And I think the Ravens will be able to control the ball on the ground a lot more. The Dobbins is on fire with Edwards and Lamar. And the snow might actually help the Ravens because they got the better ground game because there might be a... some snow Saturday night. So I look for the Ravens in a tight one. 21-17. A little low scoring.
Very possible, John. Two road teams in a row, huh? You're taking the fans not being there. Is that it?
Nah, well, Buffalo's going to have fans. So, you know.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, all right. That's all right.
All right, so Senior, what do you think? You're a big Josh Allen guy. So I'm thinking that's where you're leaning.
Yeah, that's why I'm gonna. That is why I'm gonna pick the Bills because I think Josh will have a. This might be, you know, if the Bills go on a run. So it's something we've seen, you know, historically a lot in teams that go on runs in the playoffs. You go back to that first playoff game and you say that's where they could have been had. And I think the Bills played a little tight. They didn't play their best game. And Rivers was able to get quite a bit done against them throwing the ball, no doubt, which probably surprised a lot of people. If you look at his numbers, he threw no picks. He threw for about 300 yards or so. So that surprised a lot of people that the Buffalo's not built on their defense. I think the Raven defense did an unbelievable job against Henry, but this is a different challenge. This is stopping a pass first offense big time. And I think that guy is just on a roll. And now that he's gotten over that first playoff game hurdle this year, sometimes when you're expected to win, it's hard. And getting over that hurdle for the first time was probably huge for the Bills. And I just think Josh is just on too much of a roll with that offense that they're going to win. I see it as a close game, though. I'm going to say 28-24 Bills. Because Josh is the player of the game. Josh and Diggs just really playing great. That's what I see.
I like the Bills as well, but it's real tight, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if the Ravens win. The Ravens have the better defense, right? I mean, I think that's clear. And the Ravens offense is playing well, and Lamar's a weapon. My head says Baltimore in a lot of ways, but coming into the playoffs, I said I think Buffalo is going to make the Super Bowl. To make the Super Bowl, you got to win tough games. This is a tough game, and we'll see if they can rise to the occasion. But really, really great game. Really a great game. Game of the weekend. I can't wait for it.
To finish the weekend.
It wouldn't surprise me if it's 13-10. It wouldn't surprise me if it's 38-35. It's one of those games. But I do think it's going to be close because they're very evenly matched teams. Ryder, Ravens or Colts? Ravens or Bills, not Colts.
Ravens.
Ryder's going with Lamar. Ryder and Mr. D'Amato. Ride or die, baby. Ride or die.
Split vote. There we go.
I got to ask you guys, as Patriot Nation, that was a bitter rivalry you guys had. The Ravens eliminated you guys a couple times, but also you got a division rival. So who's the rooting interest go to? The hated Ravens or the division rival, which you usually root against? Who do you guys?
I'll speak for myself first. I really like both teams. I really like Lamar Jackson. I think he's a good kid and a great quarterback.
So that bitterness of those Ravens in the past.
I despise John Harbaugh. A perfect scenario would be as Lamar's running in for the winning touchdown, he runs over Harbaugh and knocks him out of the for the rest of the playoffs. But I have no ill will toward the guys on the field for either one of these teams.
Just the organization in general. Screw the Ravens. I'm looking at it as, the quarterback on the Bills is one of my favorite players in the league. They're our rivals. I just love watching that kid play. And you stole some of my thunder because I was coming in right away. The Harbaugh brothers are not my favorite people. And even more so, John. Screw him. that's where the venom is. That's where the venom is, John D'Amato. Torn Harbaugh. I love seeing the Ravens get knocked out. I mean, I don't despise them quite as much as I despise the Steelers, and it was nice closing the book on them. So let's close the book on freaking Harbaugh this week, and nobody better to do it than Josh Allen, and I'll look at it as they're representing our AFC East.
The things are a little too friendly. I want to stir the pot a little, so I got a good answer.
You don't have to throw much bait on that hook for senior. We'll just say that. He likes to stir the pot. All right. Next up, guys.
How about those Steelers?
We're going to get to them right now, guys. So
Big Ben.
First game on Sunday, we have Cleveland at Kansas City. So we've been... it's no surprise to any of our listeners, right? Not four Steeler fans on this show, right? We try not to play favorites, but generally speaking, they're probably our least favorite team in the whole league, right? Other than John and the Eagles. So we all picked them except for Ryder. Cleveland, COVID coach in the basement, right? Didn't even coach the game. Guys not out there. Pittsburgh at full strength coming off a week where they rested their aged quarterback. And Ryder, Can you tell me what the score was with 4 minutes left in the first quarter of that game?
28-0.
It was 28-0. You're right. The Browns came out, and I don't even want... I mean, the Browns played a good game. Take nothing away from them. But talk about an embarrassment. Just an absolute embarrassment. The first play of the game, snapped the ball over his head, defensive touchdown. And then the vaunted Steeler defense, the Steelers turn it over again, touchdown. The Steelers go three and out, touchdown. The vaunted Steeler defense, the Browns went through him like a hot knife through butter. Roethlisberger eventually got it going a little bit and actually made it pretty interesting. I thought it was more, I don't give him credit or their offense really credit. I think it was more the Browns kind of went into that prevent strategy a little early, like teams that aren't that good do, and it almost came back and bit them. But right when it got close, there it was. We had the touchdown for the Browns, another turnover for the Steelers. But I think Senior really hit this on the head in calling them the worst 11-0 team in NFL history. I think that goes without saying. And they didn't really belong in the playoffs. This was an awful, awful, embarrassing performance. I don't know what they do, right? Does Ben retire? Tough to go out like that. They got nothing behind him. It's an organization in free fall, and we couldn't be happier about it. What were your thoughts on the game?
Lilo, what were your thoughts?
That's Lilo's thought. Yeah, I loved it. I mean, we communicated with each other during the first quarter, and we were pretty much giddy. We were so happy with what we were seeing. It was one of the most enjoyable quarters of football I've ever watched, not involving one of my teams. It was awesome. You know, they, like you say, these are crazy, impossible comebacks when they happen, like Frank Reich and stuff. You got to get your offense going to come back from way behind like that. You got to get your passing game going. And the Steelers actually did that enough to make it interesting. But when the chips were down, the Steelers defense couldn't stop the Browns. That's the other thing you need to complete a big comeback. That is, you can't let the other team score more points. And the great Steelers defense just couldn't do that. And that was great. I mean, Ben ended up passing for over 500 yards. He also threw 4 interceptions. You know, maybe they would have been better off playing Rudolph, something I suggested last week. But bye-bye, Steelers. It was nice having you around, you joke, 11-0. One of the most embarrassing quarters in the history of the NFL playoffs. It was really the worst. I mean, come on. There's never been a quarter that bad in the playoffs. No team's ever given up 28 points in a quarter in the NFL playoffs in history.
I think it was the first quarter. I remember it was the Super Bowl, right? It was the Broncos against the Redskins when the Broncos went up 10-0 and then the Redskins scored 35 in the second quarter, the Mark Rippon Redskins. Yeah, am I right about that?
Okay. So it was the worst first quarter in history. Okay.
Either way.
Anyway, it was freaking great. It was great. They're a bunch of dogs. Bye-bye, Steelers.
So nothing, I don't think anything really sums up how, you know, our show more than Senior railing against the Steelers while both dogs go crazy in the background. That's it. That's what the listeners are here for.
Well, that was the Cleveland Browns and the dog pound.
There it is. There it is.
The dog pound was just having a blast.
So the Browns go to Kansas City. Tough game. John, I know you're not, you don't need to pile on the Steelers hate. I know that. You can if you want to. But can you give us your analysis of this game? Do the Browns have a chance in this game?
Very slim, very slim. Andy Reid coming off a bye has been almost unbeatable. I don't see the Chiefs going down and getting upset by Cleveland. Cleveland's going to be overjoyed that they uh, that they got get that game. But they can keep it close. If Hunt and Chubb, they were running terrifically, and if Baker, as long as Baker doesn't turn the ball over, they go on those long drives that could keep Mahomes off the field. If Baker hits those short passes, Hunt and Chubb get it rolling, they could keep it close. But I don't think it's gonna happen. I'll go with the definitely the Chiefs in a 30-20. Type game right around the spread, so I'm not going to give the gamblers anything to bite on.
Yeah, I'm with you, John. I'm still not a big believer in this Browns team. I feel like the Steelers gave that game away. No, I mean the Browns played good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, a couple points about the Steelers. The Ben turnovers. When you ask a guy who's washed up. To throw 70 times, what do you expect with the turnovers? But what was shocking is that the defense couldn't even hold them to field goals. Just the lack of tackling. That was a little like a Quitsville. Like they didn't want to be there. That was what was real demoralizing for Tomlin, who's such a great motivator and all that. And then even in the postmortem, a couple days later, Tomlin wasn't really usually he'd be like, yeah, you know, Ben's our quarterback and all that. He said nothing of the sort. So. That's something to look at. I'm sure they'd love for him to retire, but he's not going to walk. He's not going to walk away from that 40 mil. So they're in a tough spot.
Real tough spot. Hope they don't get Deshaun Watson, right, Senior?
Never, never, never going to happen.
No, really? I hope not. I hope. Who knows? I mean, Miami. All the talk is Miami might get him. The Texans would be out of their minds.
But that's your guy too. You're the president.
I still like Tua. I still like Tua, but you're talking about a guy that is already a top four or five quarterback in the league who's 25 years old. I mean, I think Tua has promise. I mean, I think there's been some unfair things. There's supposedly a few of the guys on the Dolphins I saw reported today say they were disappointed in him and everything. I mean, let's give the guy a break. He was coming off a major, major injury. And it was, he was a rookie.
Yeah, first year.
I still think.
They're watching Herbert.
Herbert wasn't coming off that kind of an injury. And Herbert also played in a system where they play really wide open. You know, I think they, I don't think they opened the whole for Tua. Anyway.
If you had to pick those three guys for the rest of their career, if you could pick, how would you rank them? The three quarterbacks here.
Oh, Deshaun, no. Then Herbert, then Tua.
No, Burrow, Herbert, and Tua. How would you rank them?
Definitely Herbert number one. And I'm not sure yet about either Burrow or Tua. I mean, we'll see how Burrow reacts to coming back from this injury. We might not see him for another year. So, the jury will still be out on him. I think he showed he was playing really well, but... This is kind of thing that's tough to come back from. You know, Tua coming back from that hip thing. That's tough stuff. Those are devastating injuries. So the jury is out on both of them.
I would go Herbert, Burrow, Hurts, Tua. That's how I would rank the four quarterbacks.
I think you're selling Tua a little short by just what you saw on eight games. I'm not sure that Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than him. We'll see. And I'm not sure Burrow's going to be a better quarterback than him when he comes back from this injury. We'll see.
They are both better than Sudfeld, Nathan.
Yes. Yes. And we didn't get my Chiefs-Browns pick yet. I'll just give it to you quick. Chiefs 38-21. You know, there's some good things you can say about the Browns. Obviously, the running backs and Baker's playing better and the defense is okay. But let's face it, they're the Browns. They are the Browns still. And there's one reason that they're in the second round of the playoffs, because they were fortunate enough to draw a first-round matchup against the Steelers. That's why they're there. So Chiefs by 17, 38-21 Chiefs.
I like the Chiefs as well. Ryder, Chiefs or Browns?
Chiefs.
All right, sweep it. That means the Browns. Ryder, I thought you might go back in with the Browns. All right. Last but not least, We have the other game of the weekend. Tom Terrific going to New Orleans against Drew Brees. This has to be, you know, at a combined age of like 86, the playoff game with the two oldest starting quarterbacks. And Tom played a really good game against Washington. I picked Washington in that game. And if you would have told me that Heinicke was going to have the game that he did, I would have felt even more confident about my pick. I mean, I thought he played great. But the Tampa offense is clicking. The Tampa offensive line won that game, in my opinion. The key to victory for Washington was to get pressure with the front four. And Brady, I don't even think, got knocked down more than once or twice. He had all day to throw. And if you give him time, they have the best receiving core in the NFL. So Brady played a great game. Valiant effort by Washington. They have a nice, bright future to look forward to. On the other side, the Saints, we already talked about a little bit. So the Saints drew the Bears, so it's tough to glean too much from that matchup. They won a game they were supposed to win. This is going to be a much more difficult matchup. They have beaten the Bucs twice this year. Both times they killed them. Tough to beat Brady three times in a year. I don't believe it's ever been done. So, Senior, what say you?
Well, it's going to come down to the same thing, really. I mean, both games that they destroyed Brady, I think Brady threw five or six picks in those two games and one touchdown. Was that the Saints' pass rush was ferocious in both of those games. And so it comes down to, is the Bucs offensive line going to be up to it again? And I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say that Bucs offensive line proved that they're gelling, they're coming together and playing well now against a really good defensive front. I mean, I don't know if I can rate the Saints' defensive front to be that much better than the WFT defensive front. And the Bucs offensive line took care of business in that game. That's the key to the whole game. If the Bucs offensive line takes care of business, keeps Tom reasonably clean, and I'm going to go on the Saints' their recent history of being a different team in the playoffs than they are in the regular season, and they didn't do anything last week to change my mind about that. I wasn't impressed by their performance at all. So I'm going to say Tom, name is Drew Brees versus Brady. Max, Drew got the first two. He's going to win two out of three. Tom's getting the one that counts, which is what Tom usually does. So,
all right.
I'm going Bucs in their high-powered offense.
There we go. So we got Senior picking the Bucs. A little bit of, you have some connection issues there, Senior, but that's okay. That's what we've grown accustomed to it.
Really?
John, what do you think? What do you think?
I'm going with the I'm going to keep the mismatches rolling. The Peyton and Dennis Allen over Arians and Todd Bowles. That was the reason for the two mismatches in the regular season. Definitely a coaching mismatch. And also, I think the Saints defense is a little bit better than the WFT. They're more experienced and they're definitely better in the secondary. They got playmakers there like Jenkins and that Gardner Johnson, who's a real pain in the ass. It's going to get inside, some of the heads, probably draw a couple unsportsmanlike conduct penalties on Brown and Evans. Those guys are volatile, easy to get off their game. So I'm going to go with that. And plus, the Tampa's defense wasn't too impressive, very vanilla. They let Taylor Heinicke, and they're probably going to turn him into a millionaire. Somebody's probably going to sign him probably to a big contract after that performance. Tampa's defense doesn't really offer. Bowles kind of just doesn't offer much. Just relies on the front four, JPP and Shaq Barrett and them, just to get pressure and not much variety in that defense. I think Brees and them, they're going to figure something out, and they're going to make it the hat trick. The last team that lost to the two games in the regular season and won in the playoffs, I'm not being a homer, but it was the New York Giants over Dallas. That Giants team that went on to beat a certain team that was 18-0 that year. That was the last team. Otherwise, The majority of the times, the teams that won twice in a regular season made it the hat trick. So I'm going to go for the hat trick here. Let's call it 27-22 Saints.
All right. John, I think you make a lot of good points. So I think what Senior left out is, and that you mentioned a little bit, is I think the Bucs will be able to score points. I don't think they're just going to get whacked like they did the last time. But I think the Tampa defense is going to have some real problems stopping the Saints offense. To your point, the WFT offense looked pretty good against them. And the Saints obviously have a better offense than them. The Saints offense is back at full strength. Breeze isn't what he was, but he certainly knows how to run that offense. And I think it's a shootout. And I think the Saints have a better D is really what it comes down to. I think it's a shootout where the Saints have a better D. 31-28 New Orleans. Book it. I love Brady, and you know, I hope he wins in some ways, and then in other ways, it wouldn't bother me to see him not win a Super Bowl with a team other than the Patriots. So I'm very conflicted whenever I watch the Bucs. But, you know, I hope perfect scenario would be he plays real well and they lose. So, Ryder, who do you got in this one? Tampa Bay at New Orleans.
Saints?
Big game for Kamara?
Yeah.
Big game for Brady?
No.
Oh, Ryder likes the Saints big. Woo! He's getting on Senior's bad side there. It's all right.
That's all right. You got me looking forward to next week's show. I'm on Brady Island. I'm coming back with bragging rights. This is a great island to be on.
All right. Ryder was on Baker Island, and you're on Brady Island, Senior.
I like it.
All right. Very good, guys. So we talked a little bit about Deshaun Watson. I'd talk a little bit more about that. John, how dysfunctional is this Texans organization? It seems like they really botched this. I know you and I talked about it offline, and I see the argument for not giving the players a say in coaching and GM, who their boss is going to be. But I feel like what you shouldn't do is tell them they're going to have a say and then not give them a say, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's a bad lack of communication there. But, I don't think that they should, hire somebody just because, Watson likes the person. But there's definitely a disconnect there, and of course after the hubbub, because it looked like Bieniemy was going to be a favorite and pretty much a shoo-in for that job, and then he wasn't even one of the first 10 or 20 guys they interviewed. Now eventually they did interview him, but I guess to appease, now it's going to look like if they do hire him, they're just doing it to appease Watson.
It's just a bad situation. Yeah. And you had like Andre Johnson. If he's not the best Texan in history, he's definitely in the top three or four. Andre Johnson, yep, who never tweets anything, came out and just totally blasted the organization that he played for his whole career. And then D-Hop. Of course, D-Hop piles on at any time he can on the Texans. But it seems like a real toxic situation. And normally I would say there's no chance in hell that Watson gets traded. But this could be that kind of one in a million scenario where things are just so fucked up that they end up moving him. So Senior, would you give up Josh? Would you give up Caris LeVert, 4 first round picks, and the big center there for Deshaun Watson?
Oh yeah, way before I'd give him up for James Harden, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean for Deshaun. Well, I mean, can you imagine how excited we would be if Deshaun Watson was coming to the Patriots? I'd give our next 3 first round picks. I mean, Any team that needs a quarterback, you got to be kidding me. That's just crazy. And another thing we didn't mention about what they did, I think they hired like some consultants, and they paid a big fee to recommend
and then
they
ignored them.
And they gave them three names, all not named Nick Caserio, and they didn't even consider it. They just then they hired Caserio. I mean, what are they doing? I mean, they're a mess. That organization's a mess. And former coach Billy O has moved on. He's going to be the offensive coordinator at Alabama. I guess he wants to win.
It's a better job. The senior. So, So who's Deshaun Watson playing quarterback for next year?
Probably the Texans. All this craziness that's been said and done. I still can't see him trading him. I just can't see it. I know they're insane. I know he may try to use some kind of leverage. But what do you do now? I mean, you don't want to sit out in your prime as an NFL quarterback. Right. You only have so many of those good years. Right. I think somehow they do something to appease him, and he plays for the Texans. That's like 90% to 10% he stays with the Texans.
All right. I think he's going to be in Miami. I believe those rumors. And that Miami thing, the Tua, the gloss of Tua, if there's anywhere that the Texans can talk themselves into, that's it. Because he's a young quarterback with a good pedigree. They'll get a lot of picks. It's a bad trade. But I think Watson is going to try to force their hand. And I think it's going to work because they'll think Tua is a good chip to get right there. Maybe they'll get that.
Just what we need in the AFC East with us, Josh Allen, and now Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, just because I say it doesn't mean it's happening, senior. So no, don't worry too much.
Yeah, Chris Mortensen is pretty reliable. If it was one of those other knuckleheads like who was it, LaFleur was about 1 out of 10, and Rappaport's about 3 out of 10, but Mortensen's usually on point, so. There's probably some smoke to that fire.
All right, Ryder. Where's
Deshaun? Oh, Ryder, my condolences. There were a lot of coaching changes this week, but Cliff Kingsbury wasn't one of them. Sorry, Ryder.
Sorry, Ryder, that Cliff Kingsbury is still the coach of the Cardinals. Ryder, do you think Deshaun Watson stays with the Texans?
No.
Ryder's with me. Miami Beach, baby.
According to the Ryder report.
Yeah. So we are we are over here on the North South Connection Podcast Network. I have a new show coming up that I'm recording my first episode tomorrow. I'm not sure if we have a name for it yet because I'm a terrible show member. But me and Logan Crossland are going to start taking a look back at movies starring wrestlers. Our first episode is going to be we're going to watch No Holds Barred. And kind of go through it in a, there's going to be some categories. It's going to be cool. Senior took me to see No Holds Barred in the theater when I was a kid. That was Hulk Hogan and Zeus. Do you remember that, Senior?
Senior's vaguely.
Vaguely. I remember it. That's all that matters. So.
What a good dad. He took a nap and let you enjoy the movie. Man.
So, John, can you tell us about some of the other stuff we have here on the North-South?
Yes. Our boy, Tim Slomka. Who's a long-suffering Bears fan, and him and another Bears fan, Justin Pratt, they decided to watch some wrestling to take their mind off their shitty Bears team that's causing them such heartache. So they started a new podcast. Now it's called Next Gen, New Gen on a Mission, and the mission statement is from WWF from 92 to 97. They're going over that period of time, so. From when Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels from Survivor Series 92 to Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels Survivor Series 97. So it was an intense period of time, and they're going to go over that and chop it up. And that's going to be a great new podcast. So it's good to see the Bears fans getting into something besides miserable Bears football.
Very good, John. Thanks so much. So, everybody, enjoy this week's playoff games. We'll be back next week to preview the conference championships. And in breaking news, John and Senior and Ryder and I talked, and we are going to continue the show after the Super Bowl with a focus in the short term on NBA and combat sports. And we're kind of going to go from there and try to make this a year-round thing, because we know everybody really likes listening to us. If your senior has the guys and stuff that he doesn't like in the combat sports, he has the teams in the NBA he doesn't like. So he'll always find that you won't lose any of the charm that you're used to. So if you guys want to message us and tell us who you're a fan of, that would most likely move to the top of seniors' list about who to trash. So just keep us informed there. But outside of that, enjoy the games this weekend. It's going to be great. Ryder and I are going to be hanging out. And then John, Senior, Ryder, and myself will get together next week and we'll preview the conference championships for you. So for Senior, for Ryder, and for Mr. John D'Amato, I'm the Cowboy, and I'm out of here.
If it's a Brooklyn Lakers final, I'm going to have to check out it out.